Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes!
Oh, it is. It is! I knew you'd like that, Crowder. No, it is the Hawk and Crowder show. Alex Dotto in for Mark Hochman today. I don't know what he's up to today, but I'm happy to be here. Crowder is here, of course. We got Solana back in studio. Dan Day running the Simulcast Network. I think this is the first time I've done this show for more than the movie segment since we've had the double simulcast starting at 2 o'clock. Crowder, do you guys feel more pressure to perform in the 2 o'clock hour, that it's no longer the local hour? It's simulcast all day, man.
No. It's like with NBA players in front of 20,000 or in front of nobody, baby. One station or two stations. You still got to perform when you're a professional and you're great. And 2 to 6, Hawkman and Crowder show, you've just walked into greatness, Dono. You got to understand that.
I'm still recovering, man. You're going to have to carry me because I'm recovering from watching a 5-overtime game in the NHL playoffs last night. I mean, Crowder, that game between the Lightning and the Blue Jackets started at 3 p.m. and it ended at 9:30. I'm not even joking. They played 60 minutes in regulation plus an extra 100 minutes through 5 overtimes. I mean, one of the most ridiculous things ever, man. So here we are today. And I know that the big topic of the day, this has been the big topic the last couple days, and we're going to have a great guest joining us later this hour to break it down. College football. I mean, Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post is going to join us at 2:15. So we've already had Crowder. We'll hear more about this in the headlines in a couple minutes, but we've already had the Pac-12 and the Big Ten cancel fall sports. They're going to maybe try to do some football in the spring. We'll see how that works out. So as of right now, you know, the ACC, the SEC and the Big 12 are still planning on moving forward. I still wonder if it goes down that way, though, right? Because I see a lot of people saying, oh, this is exciting. We're going to have football in the fall and we're going to have football in the spring. I mean, to me, I really, and I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer, because you know I want my Canes football, and I know, yep, Crowder, you want your Gators football. Yep. So I don't want to sound like a complete Debbie Downer, but I mean, I wonder if the remaining Power Fives are just waiting a little bit longer before they make that call, right? Because for most of these schools, students are about to come back to campuses. I think for Miami, it's happening in a few days when the campuses will be repopulated. They might be just trying to feel this out for a little bit longer. How's the infection rate going over the next couple of weeks before they make the final call to cancel? I'm still not convinced, bottom line, that we get football this fall anywhere.
Oh, I'm 100% with you, Dono. Yeah, and let's say if SEC does come back, ACC, Big 12, I'll use Florida. You know, knock on wood, Florida comes back to camp, 17 guys get COVID. Now what do you do? You have to adjust then, because this isn't MLB. You can't put the guys up in a hotel and see what happens. Like, that's the thing, Dono. We were talking about yesterday with this. We're trying to compare this to what we know of NBA, WNBA, MLS, you know, NHL teams, you know, sports that come back. Those are pros, bro. These are children. These are amateurs. They love to stay student athlete. They don't want to say student athlete. We're acquiring student athletes. We're not just recruiting a hell of a linebacker or a great quarterback. He's a student athlete. So are you going to treat them like students or athletes? This is going to get interesting. I think it's going to go they're going to wait, and I know the SEC is going to wait to last second, Dono. Half of the SEC team's entire economy of Tuscaloosa, of Gainesville, I'll go to Gators, I'll use my alma mater, runs through the football program. Yeah. I love gymnastics to death, Dono. I have friends with gymnasts.
You do?
And all. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool to see them damn girls flipping and jumping and whipping and flipping
I'll give
around.
You that. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Diving off that damn leather horse. I love all that stuff. They're not making no money. Nobody's. You're not bringing 100,000 people to Gainesville to watch a girl flip off of a leather horsey. This is the economy of those schools as well. So I think it does get into finances, which the NCAA does not want to talk about because that's what it is. But yes, Dono, they're waiting for the last second. I think that it can be accelerated or decelerated. Let's say they come back and go to camp and there's no big outbreaks. One or two guys come in with it. And like I watched Hard Knocks last night, I think one guy on both teams came to camp with COVID. If something happens like that, okay, we made the right decision. But yeah, Dono, I'm skeptical as well. I love football. We love our football, but I'm very skeptical.
Let's bring in Alejandro Solana with some headlines.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Solana?
Hey.
How's it going?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm good. Just buying some times here while I pull up my headlines.
You didn't know
what are you wearing
coming,
today,
huh?
Solana?
I'm rocking my pink Dwayne Wade retirement jersey t-shirt. Not jersey, just like the retirement t-shirt. Freshman.
So a jersey shirt? You're doing the jersey shirt
thing? No, not the jersey. Not the jersey. I don't know why I said jersey. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man.
I look good, though, I will say.
Nope.
You should send out a selfie. I'll be the judge. Fit check.
Oh, that's for Fridays. That's coming Fridays. You know that's coming Fridays.
You look different. You know how different sometimes works? I don't think you're attractive. I think you're different.
Oh, we talked about it the other day. I'm TV pretty. I am. I'm TV pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm radio pretty.
Yeah, I'm with you, Donovan.
Tonight, 8 p.m., Heat versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, guys. The Heat can't fall into the sixth seed. They've clinched the four or the five. There are a couple other situations. We'll get to it later on. Dan Feldman of NBC Sports writes for the NBA. He'll join us. I'm sure we'll talk about that with him. Also in the NBA, they sent out a memo today detailing the rules for family and friends to enter the Disney bubble. What's pretty funny here is that they're requiring players to provide proof of, quote, a longstanding relationship with non-family members who want to enter the bubble.
You know what that reminds me of? Like, you ever see it in, like, a sitcom where, like someone marries somebody else to, like, try to get them citizenship or something? Yeah. And so then you know, oh, wait, the human services agent is going to come over, so we have to have, like, these doctored photographs of when we were dating, supposedly. We have to have all this proof. Like, you're going to have to come up with all this, like, forensic evidence as to how long you've known this person. I like it.
It reminds me of I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Yes.
They had to prove they were a couple, and the guy was coming and picking through their garbage can. Like, what? Come on, man. I tell y'all what it is. They don't want the IG models in the bubble. Man, unleash the puppies. Let the puppies come to the bubble. These boys need to play better. Man, don't do that to these guys.
Well, like, shouldn't it be enough? Like, okay, so you can bring up the four people. Shouldn't it be enough that the four people you bring in test negative for COVID? Like, shouldn't that be like, okay, you are Duncan Robinson's four guests, you're on the list, as long as you're not bringing the virus in, should it really matter how well he knows those people?
To me, Dono, no. To Channing Crowder, if I was Adam Silver, no, Dono, not at all, man. You got four people on the list. It's like when you have tickets to a game as a player, you have four slots, you write the names in, and the tickets are at will call. They can't will call the bubble, though, Don. You can't. What if you bring in one of those little promiscuous women and they're talking to two or three guys on the team? Can they go from room to room? Can they go from room to room, Dono? Like, I'm on both sides of this, but as a father, I would say no, Dono. You can't just let anybody in the bubble.
Well, you know, I think the scenario you brought up might be exactly what they're trying to safeguard against, right? Because what if, like, you let some IG model in just because, or maybe like they pay you to put them in one of your four spots just so they can get in there and go crazy. That's probably exactly what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah. And some guys will do it too. It's funny to say, Dono, you've been around athletes. I've been around athletes. That is a concern and that will be tried. Somebody's going to get a fake ID and say, this is my sister. Yeah. Well, this is I know she's a lot younger. My parents, they took a break. Yeah, man, they're gonna try. You know how you know how men are. You know how young men are, and you know how young rich athletes men are. Yeah, come on, man, they're gonna try.
The Marlins, they lost gut wrenching loss yesterday, 5-4 to the Blue Jays in extra innings. They hit A three-run home run in the top of the ninth to tie the game to send it to extras. Ended up losing in the bottom of the 10th. They play game two versus the Blue Jays, looking for a split in this two-game set. 6:37 p.m. tonight with our boy Jordan Yamamoto on the mound.
Can I admit to you that the only times that I have watched baseball since the restart are when one of my picks is on the line for the Hard Hawk Casino? Like, that is literally the – if the game counts towards my score to win $100 from Hawk, that's the only time I've been watching.
Well, me too. It's not with the Hard Hawk Casino, but we gamble a lot on this show, Dono, as you know. And
I know that.
I've watched more Marlins this year probably than all last season, to be honest, because we had money on it.
Just to recap what you guys were talking about to start off the show, the Big 12, they announced that the conference has agreed to proceed with plans for fall sports, with the fall sports seasons, I should say. Players in, quote, high contact sports like football, volleyball, and soccer will get 3 COVID-19 tests per week. And UM President Dr. Julio Frank, he told CNBC today that UM has had 0 positive tests amongst their last 2 rounds of testing of student athletes. Here's Dr. Julio Frank on CNBC's Squawk.
We have had student athletes on campus in all of our universities, certainly mine, since June for 2 months. We've been testing them frequently. And I can tell you, the last 2 tests, we have had exactly 0 new positive cases, which demonstrates that young people can be actually trusted to follow rules. Contrary again to the stereotype, they can be trusted to follow rules when there's a very clear reward, which in this case is to play. So I cannot tell you what the ACC will do because obviously I'm not authorized. We are in meeting and consulting, but we're mostly driven by a very thorough approach at analyzing all the options and really asking the question, what is best for our students?
Well, I got to tell you, if there's anybody I would want to have in charge of a university in a time like this, it's a guy who was the Minister of Health for an entire country, because that's what Julio Frank was for Mexico. So honestly, I probably feel a little bit better about the way Miami might handle this compared to a lot of other universities, just because the guy who's the president of this university happens to be the most qualified in this particular field. Yes. But, you know, but unfortunately, Crowder, he's not the president of the other 15 schools in the ACC. He's not the president of any of the schools in the SEC. So this thing is going to be bigger than Miami at the end of the day. But I do like the way Miami's been handling this.
Oh, my goodness. And an instrumental voice in the World Health Organization. You hit it on the head. Y'all have the right man for a pandemic at University of Miami. I understand what Frank's is saying, Donald, but I still don't trust the 18 to 22-year-olds. I just don't. I don't know if I'm going, if I'm doing, you know, I'm going more inside, because I wouldn't trust myself at 18 to 22. I don't know if I can trust these guys to really stay healthy, masks, no interaction with, we just talked about the IG models, no interaction with the opposite sex, trying to enjoy, trying to let off steam, whatever people call it after a game, after a practice. I don't trust the young guys. I hope they understand what's going on. It's too many of them, too many knuckleheads.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, guys, finally, the last blockbuster in the world. It's in Bend, Oregon. It's turning itself into an Airbnb next month. 3 families are going to get to stay overnight, watch as many movies as they want, I should say. The only caveat is that you have to live around that Bend, Oregon area to apply. But they're basically, they're renting out this Airbnb for like $4, which would be the same price as it would cost to just rent a movie from Blockbuster.
I'm so upset about that Bend, Oregon rule, because I came across this story yesterday, Crowder, and I've come to realize in recent months, because I'm trying to pass along a lot of stuff to my son, things that I enjoyed like back in the 90s when I was growing up. I love nostalgia. Like, I am one of the most nostalgic human beings on the planet. And when I started to see these pictures come out of the Blockbuster BNB in Oregon, I want to get in. Like, I want to be able to reserve one of those nights. I even tweeted that if anybody can help me get a reservation, my DMs are open. Like, I want somebody to get me that golden ticket to get in the Willy Wonka factory. And now Solana's telling me you have to live in the Bend, Oregon area. I'm upset by this.
Dono, did you just compare a Blockbuster to the Willy Wonka factory? Come on, big homie.
I miss Blockbuster so much, man. I miss it so much.
You want to slide in a VHS? Be kind, rewind? Man, this is a ploy. They need to get rid of this damn. If I took my kids to a Blockbuster, you know what they would ask me, Dono? Daddy, what? where's the Hulu TV? Where's the Disney Plus TV? No, Ava, you have to put this CD in this slot. Oh, I'll just go to Disney Plus. They play them automatically. Dono, come on, man. Dude,
Crowder,
I watch
VHS tapes with my kid. My parents have their old VCR from like 30 years ago, and it still works. We watch Disney cartoons on there. My kid loves it. He loves when it's rewinding and it makes a funny noise. He likes sliding the tape in. My kid would love the Blockbuster B&B.
You know why? Because you're a good father. You're tricking him right now.
I am.
Good parents can trick their children. But Luca's not old. What's Luca? What's he running?
Two and a half.
Two and a half? Yeah, three? Yeah, man. You got about 2 more years of tricking him, though, big homie.
Fair enough. Any weather or anything, Solana?
Oh, yeah, there's always weather. Right now in South Florida, guys, partly cloudy. I see the clouds moving in here to El Portal, but still sunny in South Florida. Guys, tonight the lows will drop into the mid to upper 70s. Some parts of South Florida, you'll get into the low 80s tonight, so it'll still be warm. Right now, an 80% chance of rain with humidity at 69%.
Nice.
Come on, Dono. You can lick the wallpaper. There's a river of chocolate. That's no damn Blockbuster, man.
New releases wall was the greatest thing ever. The new releases wall. Oh, my God.
That was your spot, the new release wall.
It was my spot.
That's your weather from back here at the Weatherplex. Back to you guys.
Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post has been a very busy man writing stories. He wrote most recently about college football, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 opting not to have fall seasons, and what could this mean for the rest of the Power Five. Plus, he also wrote a piece over the weekend, you know, talking about potential, you know, concerns over what COVID-19 can do to hearts and cardiovascular health. So that can kind of tie in to this whole college football thing. Plenty to get to with Adam Kilgore, who's going to join us next here on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
La vaca, the cow, survives the milking. I don't think an almond does. I think an almond, once you milk it, that's it.
And it's probably sad.
It gotta be sad.
Hawk and Crowder.
Back here on the Hawk and Crowder Show, Alex Dono in for Mark Hockman today. Crowder here, Solana here. So, read this great piece in the Washington Post. As Big Ten and Pac-12 cancel fall seasons, college football splinters and teeters. And the author of that great piece, man, I know I've spoken to at least once before, Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post joins us. Adam, how have you been? How are you?
We're doing good up here, man. Thank you for asking. I hope all's well down there as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're just trying to stay safe. And so, okay, a lot has been going on in college football. We've already seen the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 cancel. And as of right now, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are planning on moving forward. In your mind, what is the likelihood that we see more cancellations? Because I don't think people should look at this and say, hey, they're definitely, these three conferences will definitely play football. I look at it as they're just kind of, you know, waiting a little bit longer to make the decision. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said about them waiting. And it's not, you know, the fact that they have not canceled alongside the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is not, to me, an automatic indication that they're going to play in the fall. You know, like with everything with this virus and the pandemic, you know, we don't know what the world's going to look like in 2 weeks, let alone a month and a half or whatever, when the games might start. You know, I do think as the issue becomes more politicized, you know, I think we've already seen it, you know, break down sort of geographically along political lines. You know, like I think if I had to offer a prediction as far as like, you know, what's 51% and 49%, I would say Eileen, I think that they're going to probably try to start playing, especially in the SEC. Will that be possible if, you know, the Big 12 decides to pull out and the ACC decides to pull out? Maybe not, but it does seem like those schools given present circumstances, have enough incentives to try to give it a go, and have enough, medical backing to give it a go. Whereas other conferences couldn't have that, or, were relying on different experts or had a different calculus. So it's not, I definitely think you're right. I definitely don't think it's a done deal. These conferences are going to play. I do think, depending on how the earth moves and the climate shifts in the next few weeks, that they could actually do it. And it'd be, it's just such an incredibly strange sport, that half the teams can play and half the teams can, and everyone just kind of shrugs and says, oh, okay, I guess that we're going to do it.
And Adam, I learned so much, man, when I read your articles. I just want to give you props on that. I know Dono kissed your butt a little bit, but I'm going to do a little bit more. Because, bro, the last two that we're going to speak about today, man, it cleared up so much for me. And I want to ask you this, though. Twice in your article, you said that the lack of central authority with college football. You said it twice in, I think, the first three paragraphs, and it just jumped out to me where – isn't that supposed to be the damn NCAA, Adam? Like, that's supposed to be their job, correct?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no one's in charge, because in football, the conferences have just, completely, about a decade ago, just had this sort of coup that everyone, maybe coup is too strong of a word, but had, just basically wrested control of the sport and the championship, the way they crowned a champion. And everyone just kind of went with it, and that's what it is. So there's nobody, there's literally nobody in charge of college football. The five conference commissioners usually meet and agree and set the tone for the whole sport at the D1 level. But if they don't, then you have what happens like in realignment, where that was just complete chaos, every school and every conference for themselves. And you have what we have now, which is every school, in some cases, every school, because, Nebraska is like openly rebelling against the Big Ten's decision yesterday, and you have every conference for themselves, and everyone, I guess there is some validity to the fact that, like, geographically the virus is affecting the country in different places in different ways, so maybe the schools and conferences should make separate decisions, but I don't know. I mean, I don't see how that's healthy or sensible or logical, to have half the sport moving in one direction and the other half moving in the other.
Yeah, and they're moving in different directions. And I wanted to ask you that, too. Do you think the clarity that this pandemic – none of us are ready for it, Adam – but the clarity that this pandemic gave us about what's going on with college sports, is this going to change college sports forever? Not just football, college sports.
That's a great question, man. I mean, I think definitely. I think in a lot of different ways. I think it will either – I'm actually very interested, to talking about the lack of central authority in college football. That kind of like balkanization of the sport. I'll be curious to see if that becomes further entrenched and actually exacerbates, where there's like, the SEC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are become even further sort of these separate kingdoms that run the sport in their own areas of the country, or if what's happened in the past few days gets the people who are in charge in a room together or in a Zoom call together, and they say, like, this is ridiculous. We need, like, a commissioner or a czar or someone to run things here. I think that's going to change. I don't know if it'll be in one direction or the other, but that's going to change. And two, a little bit separate from – well, not totally separate, because we've seen the way that players have organized in the past week or so, totally unprecedented. And I think players, like never before, are able to organize more easily because of social media, Zoom calls, cell phones, technology, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're realizing it's not that difficult to get organized, and how powerful that organization can be, and what they can demand and what leagues will do. I think before the pandemic hit, with, likeness imaging and all that, like, it was headed in the direction where players were going to see some more compensation. I think that has accelerated. And, very, very soon, I don't think it'll be like in 2021, maybe it will, but very, very soon, players are going to make money off their image and likeness. Players are going to get paid to play college football, maybe by schools, maybe by other, some other kind of third party. Players are going to have some kind of union or something that resembles a players' union. I think that's all going to happen very fast because I think the pandemic has exposed for the players the power that they do have.
And on that note here is we're joined by Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post. There certainly are, you know, some players in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 who are very disappointed that their season was canceled. And this tweet from Trevon Sidney has a lot of people talking today. He said, quote, "I just don't get how playing football isn't safe, but attending classes is. If season is canceled because they're looking out for our health, how is attending classes not worse? I'm not safe to be around the same people who are tested constantly, but I'm safe around many different peers." Does he have a point there, Adam? What do you make of that tweet?
Yeah, I think that's a factor. I think the response, and I'm not saying this is my personal opinion, but I think the response to that would be from, you know, people who decide the game can't be played is, you know, when you're in class, you know, you're not like, you know, physically hitting someone and, you know, getting close to them with a face mask and breathing on them and stuff like that. But no, I mean, it's like, you know, the whole idea of college right now, separating out college sports, the whole idea of college right now is a complete minefield. So for sure. I mean, I can imagine given like the money at stake and the sophistication of college football programs, I would imagine that, you know, like a college football player has been going to practice for the summertime and is being tested and, you know, going through protocols. I would imagine them being like probably freaked out to go to a class where there's going to be none of that or way less of that. And I think that, you know, in a roundabout way, that might be an argument for why you don't play football, because then you can divert the resources that you're pouring in to protecting strictly football players and making football practice safer to try to making, you know, using that money to put in protocols to make the campus safer. But I don't even know how you start, given what a sort of open air, open environment a college campus is. So, yeah, I mean, the questions are ripple in every direction. I mean, among all the schools, like I'm sure some, some schools aren't even gonna have students on campus. So, and if you don't do that, how do you justify having football players? So, it's a mess. It's like a total, knot to unravel, and there's like 120 different knots making one giant knot. I think I've lost the train of thought on that metaphor there, but it's just such a hard situation. I feel incredibly sad for the players. I mean, everybody does. Like, you know, I'm as a journalist and a guy who really enjoys crashing on the couch on Saturdays. Like, I'm disappointed not to watch football for sure. But, you know, gosh, imagine the people that you have to feel the worst for are the players who showed up in the summertime, made all these sacrifices. The coaches and the administrators and people in charge told them, hey, you guys have to stay in your rooms and you have to get tested and you have to be safe and wear a mask and do this. And they've done all that so well for the most part. And then it gets to be August 11th and they say, hey, thanks for doing that. Great job. But you know what? Sorry. It meant nothing like that. Man, that really stinks.
So something else that you wrote about a couple days prior, which is, you know, I mean, kind of frightening for anyone who is at potentially been at risk of getting this virus and may not know some of the potential long-term effects. You wrote about the some studies that have linked long-term heart issues to COVID-19. Tell me a little bit about that and how that might even affect, you know, young people who are collegiate and professional athletes.
Yeah, so what's the sort of new and evolving research that cardiologists and infectious disease experts are finding is that when you have, when you get COVID-19, you have a higher chance of developing myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart. It's a very, very scary thing for athletes, especially because when you're working, doing vigorous exercise, that condition can worsen. And it can also lead to sudden death. It's what like Reggie Lewis had and Hank Gathers had something related to myocarditis when he died suddenly. So in the mercifully very, very rare cases of athlete death, sudden athlete death, myocarditis is one of the higher causes of that. And, you know, so all viruses can cause myocarditis. It's basically when an infection in your body makes its way into the heart somehow. But what researchers are seeing with COVID is that compared to like the flu or something, you're way more likely to get myocarditis from COVID than from a flu or any other kind of virus that they've studied. Doesn't mean it's super often that you get myocarditis, but they do find a very high percentage of cardiac involvement. So it might not be full-blown myocarditis, but something close to it or something that could lead to it. Anyway, that's a long-winded conversation, you know, way of sort of trying to explain the fact that, yeah, there are not quite fully known but very scary complications that come from COVID that could have a very acute effect on athletes. Now, that doesn't necessarily, you know, there's some cardiologists who would say, like, that's all true, but it doesn't necessarily totally change, like, the calculus of playing football or not, because the point is always just not to get the virus. So if you're taking precautions that keep you from getting infected with COVID and you don't get it, then it's not like you can catch myocarditis, you know, separately from that. So, you know, I think there's even some experts who would say like this, that the point of understanding the myocarditis is that you need really, really stringent and strong cardiac screening before you return to play, but that if you're in an environment, you know, like the NFL is setting up or like a lot of college teams set up in campus that, you know, it theoretically keeps you from getting the virus, then, you know, maybe it's like another bad thing on top of what happens if you get COVID. But if you can avoid getting COVID, then you're fine. So I don't know. I got a little rambly there, guys, but I hope that clears up a little bit.
Adam, I love for you to ramble because you're smarter than both of us. Sorry to speak for you, Don.
You're not wrong.
No, you guys don't know me that well.
But Adam, you've done the research. We just talked about it. Yeah, you've done the research. You've talked to a lot of educated people, a lot of people in healthcare, a lot of people on the sports side. If you had a vote, somebody called you, Adam, should there be fall sports in 2020? What would your answer be?
Man, I was really hoping you weren't going to ask me that. I'm glad no one's going to call me asking that. Gosh, I think I would probably end up, and again, some of those hard decisions, because like, even if you say yes, it's not like 100% black and white. Even if you say no, it's 100% black and white, which is why it's a little dismaying that it does seem like there's like, you know, maybe I'm spending too much time on Twitter, but it does seem like there's like sides and it's like a game that you win or lose where it's like everyone's just trying to do the right thing and it's just a lot of shades of gray. But anyway, I think I would probably come down pretty close to, honestly, what Kevin Warren said yesterday. I wasn't totally enamored of his whole press conference on Big Ten Network or his interview on Big Ten Network. I wish he would have answered some more questions and given some more specifics. But I do think broadly what he said about it's just it's not – we don't have enough certainty to encourage our you know, athletes to play fall sports. I think that's where I'm closest to. There's so much still we don't know about the virus. And we don't know. And you know, a couple other factors that I don't think get mentioned enough is like the effect that, and this is like totally unfair to the players, but the effect that having a football game, even without stands on a college campus, the kind of behavior that might encourage for like gatherings and things like that. You could have like these spreading events because football's happening. That has nothing to do with the actual playing of the game. I don't know. I like to say, yeah, they should try to play and see what happens. But in maybe in a month or so, that's where I would come down because, you know, look, the virus is we're in an awful place. But the past like week or so, the arrow is sort of pointed slightly in the better direction as far as cases going down. So maybe if cases go down, it'll seem safer in a month. But I think I would, if I had to make the call today, I think I would come to a pretty similar conclusion to what Kevin Warren did.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Adam. Quickly, just to give my side of it. I don't even know if you give a damn, but I played, All-American in high school, All-American at UF, tough guy, linebacker, you know, knocking people out. But to your point, if one kid gets myocarditis and affects his life with his heart enlarged. If one kid dies from an immune deficiency, like, that would get to me if I was to give the thumbs up. So the testosterone-filled linebacker mind, I'm on the side now of, no, I don't play. Let's get more information about this. So I'm with you, bro.
I'm with you. Yeah, and I mean, I would rather make a wrong decision, not playing, and realize that I was too cautious, I think, than make a right decision, or you know, to make a wrong decision and play, and then find out I was wrong, and a lot of people's lives were affected. You know, I think that's where I come down. Even though I don't think like people who are who think they should play are like evil or reckless or something like that. You know, maybe some of them are, but not all of them.
Well, I know I learned a lot here. Great stuff from Adam yes. Kilgore. You can check out his work in the Washington Post. Adam, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Hey, good talking to you, too. Really well said. We continue here on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Mount Rushmore of cracks. Did you see Lizzo at the Lakers game?
Hawk and Crowder. When I
move you. Thanks again to Adam Kilgore from the Washington Post for joining us. How smart is that dude? I mean, there were a couple times, Crowder, when I wasn't even sure what follow-up question I could ask because he got me thinking so much when he's talking about. And you actually said the name of that heart condition, I thought, pretty well. Microcarditis.
Yeah. Florida education.
Yeah, I didn't learn that at the U, I guess. I only took one science class that I think I got like a C+ in it, so I'm definitely not the one to talk to about microcarditis.
Donald, let me pull back this curtain real fast because I always rep the UF, and I'm a Gator through and through, bro. I have 36 credits at Florida. I wasn't there long after my freshman year. I knew I was going to the league. I started taking bowling and social dance. Like, I actually, my older self is upset with my younger self from my approach to school after I figured out that I was going to go to the NFL because, man, I didn't do a damn thing my second year.
So what do you need to graduate? 60 and you got 36?
No. This is the funny part, Donald, because now it's even going to be funnier. Uh-huh. You need about 120 to graduate.
Oh, that's what I couldn't. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, oh, yeah, that's right. Because it's 15. What is it? 30 per semester? Or I don't know. 15 per semester?
It's over 100 to graduate, right?
So it's 15 per semester, 30 per year. So, yeah.
30 per year.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're at 120. So 120. It's quickly, let me. Quick story. It's longer, but I'll truncate it. When I was with the Dolphins, you know that when you go to the league early, and I left as a sophomore. I left, you know, and declared to the NFL as a sophomore. The rules were different back then. So when you go to the NFL early, the NCAA, they will let you complete your degree. Like, they'll pay for your degree. Whatever school you want to go. If I want to go to UM, if I want to go to UF, like, I could get in a system, and they would help me pay for a degree because they want continuing education. The Dolphins, his name was John Gamble. He was player operations, you know, player liaison, kind of made you comfortable down here if you needed a realtor, if you needed insurance. John Gamble was the guy to go to, great human being. And he came up to me one day, and he was upset with me. And he was like, Channing, not a lot of people call me Channing, but he calls me Channing, real significant and, you know, respectful. So, Channing, can you speak with me for a second? And I would tell John was upset with me. I went in his office, Dono. And I was like, what's up, JG? He said, I'm looking through your paperwork because I was going to look from the continuing education side of the NFL, and you only have 36 credits at UF. I said, yes, sir, 36. He said, you were there 2 years. It's almost impossible to get 36 credits in 2 years.
How are you eligible to play?
You should have somewhere close to 60 credits. This is what happens, Donna, which is so dumb of me. So dumb. I'm so upset. You can take social dance once and get your 4.0A added into your transcript. You can take bowling once. You can take golf once. You can't take it twice. When you start taking bowling and social dance multiple times, it doesn't count towards credits because there's no credits for bowling twice.
Right.
Yeah, Donna. As a 36-year-old, I know it's common sense, but as Crowder at 18, I just thought, hell, I beat the system. So I was taking classes that had 0 points attached to them, 0 credits attached to them, because I knew the next semester I was going into the draft. I regret it now, Dono. I promise I do. But at the time, it seemed like a genius move.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I thought like how were you – if you were taking the same – dance class, was it like at least the next level up, like you took social dance 1 and then you took like interpretive dance 2 after that, or was it literally the same class over and over?
It was the same class, Donald, but the first time I didn't master the waltz. You're laughing, Donald. The first time I didn't know how to foxtrot. I know now that I can slow quick. I know now that I can slow spin. I know the feet work to the foxtrot and to the waltz. So I think people out there are jealous right now that I know how to do those dances, because I put my time in 2 semesters of social dance. Like, Donald, I thought it was important.
I don't understand how you were eligible to play when you were taking literally the same class multiple times. Like, what the hell happened there?
Questions, man. All these questions. Suppress your questions. Push your questions down. It's too many questions, man. It messes stuff up.
Oh my God! On an unrelated note, you know, I had to miss the movie segment yesterday. I usually hop in for that, and somebody texts in, Dono, I heard you miss yesterday's searing pain movie review segment because you pulled your groin muscle watching the WAP video. That may or may not be true, but speaking of groins, Crowder, I think you've got a story for us.
Yeah, man, I'm pulling the old trigger on the On the piping to make babies. I had my consultation this morning. I need some help. Text in, tweet me, tweet us, 560-790. Personally, me, Alex Dono, tweet us and let me know. But I have my consultation for my vasectomy.
Good for
you. It's scheduled for August 28th. I'm going to have to take that Friday off. I'm getting the pipes cut. I wasn't comfortable, man. I didn't know vasectomy consultation was a focus on my winky winky. I don't want my swiper to be the main top focus.
Well, what else would it be, though? I mean, what were you expecting?
I don't know. I thought the danglers, I thought the berries were more important than the Frank. But during the consultation, there was a lot of Frank movement and a lot of rubbing and touching. And then the guy was, yeah. And then the other thing, too, like doctors. Donald, doctors, they always like to joke, and I understand joking lightens up the situation. My vasectomy doctor liked to joke, but we're joking about my swipe, and it was so uncomfortable because at one point he pulled my hair and was like, "Hey, you got to shave this before the 28th," and I was like, "Don't pull my wee wee hair." I was so uncomfortable, man. I don't know, man. It was an uncomfortable afternoon for me.
Wow. So yeah, that was just the consultation. Like, they haven't even sniffed anything yet.
Oh, man, they're putting lidocaine on me. They're putting laughing gas. I got to sign off on nitric oxide. We're going all in, baby.
Wow. Well, I want you to let me know how it goes, because I've only got the one kid, and I'm thinking about getting one of those because I can barely handle my toddler. You got 3 running around. So let me know how that procedure goes, because I might need you to recommend that doctor to me if you like him.
Donald, get you another one. Get you one more and then cut it off.
I don't know, man. This one's all I can. Kids are expensive. No, like, people have to know this. Oh,
Luca needs a little one to love, man. He needs one to love and care, and it teaches them compassion. Donald, have you one more, man. I'll send you a spreadsheet on how to make babies.
I've done it once. So I figured it out?
I didn't know if it was an accident or not, so I didn't know if you needed the full spreadsheet. But yeah, if you got it locked in, just let me know and I will send it.
Okay. Don't even worry about it. Oh, man. We got a big 3 o'clock hour coming up. We're going to put the focus on the NBA at 3:15. We're going to talk with Dan Feldman from NBC Sports and talk about how they will be expanding the bubble. So select family and friends will be able to enter the NBA bubble to watch their loved ones play basketball. And we'll talk about who's been really excelling in that bubble. In the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with our friend Stefano Fusaro from ESPN, because he just got out of the MLS bubble. The MLS finished up their tournament yesterday. He spent 45 days in Orlando in that bubble. So we have a lot coming up. Keep it locked here to Hawk and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I don't think Michael Jordan has that much love for a guy that was so integral, integral? I don't know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.